ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय यन्तापि purpose of creating the universe by your mercy. All these planets of the universe were stationed within your transcendental abdomen while you were enjoying sleep. Now, your sleep having ended, your eyes are open like blossoming lotuses in the morning. Purport. Brahma is teaching us the beginning of Archana regulations from morning, 4 o'clock, to night, 10 o'clock. Early in the morning, the devotee has to rise from his bed and pray to the Lord, and there are other regulative principles for offering Mangalarti early in the morning. Foolish non-devotees not understanding the importance of Arjuna, criticize the regulative principles. But they have no eyes to see that the Lord also sleeps by his own will. The impersonal conception of the Supreme is so detrimental to the path of devotional service that it is very difficult to associate with the stubborn non-devotees who always think in terms of material conceptions. Om Gyan Timirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manohistam Sthapitam Jina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Vaikyam Tathahi Shapadantikam Vande Aham Sri Guru Sri Jata Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavascha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitamstam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Swaharana Mudita Sri Vishakhan Vidhamsha He Krishna Purva Sintho Dina Lakho Vyapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Taha Kanta Mosvite Tata Kanchana Gopaki Gahe Vrindade Shri Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Yannabhi Padma Pavanad Ahamasamitya Lokatrayo Pakarno Yanugrahina Tasmai Namasta Udarastha Pavaya Yoga Nidra Vasana Vikasam Nalinekshanaya. The Brahma is born Nabhi Padma Bhavanad from the home of the Nabhi Padma, the lotus navel of the Lord. And Lokatraya, the three worlds, are also Udarastha, situated within the abdomen of the Lord. It's not that the creation comes from nothing. Everything is created from the energy of the Lord himself. The ingredients are supplied by the Lord from his body, and Brahma also is born from the Lord. Janmadyasya, he's the source of birth for Brahma and for the ingredients of the cosmic manifestation. The Brahma is the subcontractor for creation of material cosmos. The Lord himself leaves it to Brahma. He himself provides the ingredients. He supplies the plan in the form of inspiration and direction. And he engages Brahma in the work. And Brahma is the most qualified, pious living being in the universe. It's said that if one executes prescribed duties perfectly for 1,000 births, I think it is. 1 million?
100.
Only 100. Okay. If you perform your prescribed duties perfectly for 100 births, then you can become Brahma. Perfect execution of prescribed duties. No lapses. 100 births, then you become Brahma. So highly qualified devotee. And he understands that he's helping in the creation. Upakarana. He's not the cause of the creation, but he's the helper. He's the helper. The actual credit goes to the Lord. Therefore it's said, Lord Vishnu is the creator of everything. Although Brahma is given the credit for being the creator, actually Vishnu is the creator through Brahma. And Vishnu is also the destroyer through Lord Shiva. Prabhupada explains that if you want to build a house, then you hire a contractor. And if you want, when it's time to smash a building, again you hire a contractor. But maintaining the building to do yourself. So Lord Vishnu personally maintains everything. And he has his agents, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, who see to the work of creation and destruction. So Brahma is conscious that he's Upakarana. He's helping in the creation. And this is his purpose. I'm born from the house of your lotus navel for the purpose of creating the universe. Lord Brahma has some purpose to achieve, some mission. And for that he's dependent on the mercy of the Lord. Yadanugrahina. Anugraha. Independently, Brahma is not able to do anything. Independently, Krishna can do everything, swarat. But everyone else is dependent on the mercy of the Lord. And Brahma is conscious of that truth, that he needs the mercy of the Lord to accomplish his purpose. The Prabhupada comments that the Brahma is teaching us the Archana regulations. It's not that Brahma's waking up. Actually, the Lord is waking up. Of course, Brahma is also taking birth and waking up. But the Archana is performed because the Lord is awakening. The Lord was sleeping, enjoying, sleeping on the ocean. Now he's awakening. Nalina vikasat nalina ikshanaya. His opening eyes are compared to lotuses. His navel is like a lotus. His eyes are like lotuses. Now those lotus eyes are opening. And so Brahma's praying to the Lord. Now you're awakening. And I need your mercy. So please, you give me your help for creating the cosmic manifestation according to your plan. This is called Visarga. The creation of the elements themselves is done by the Lord. That's called Sarga. And then the subsequent creation by Brahma is called Visarga. So Prabhupada comments that he's teaching us how to worship the Lord in the Archana process. The Lord awakens early in the morning, and the devotee engages in his service from morning till night. this is understood only by devotional service. Bhaktya mama vijanati, without bhakti, without understanding the science of devotional service, one will not be able to understand that the Lord is present in the temple, that he's receiving the service of the devotees and reciprocating. One who has no devotional eyes will not be able to see his pastimes of the Lord or the mercy of the Lord extended to the devotee. Impersonalists always think backwards. They think that because there's form in matter, spirit should be formless. Because in matter there's sleep, in spirit there cannot be sleep. And because the sleeping of the deity is accepted in archana worship, the archana is maya. All these thoughts are basically material. Prabhupada really means that they're thinking backwards. We say, you're just thinking backwards. But he's literally saying they think backwards. They start at the back end and try and get to the front end. They start at the bottom and try and get to the top. They start by some speculative process and hope to come to the transcendental platform. But really all they do is think backwards, and they never go forward to the goal. Rather, they step back into a material conception. They think they're going to go forward, but they wind up going backwards. Matter has form, spirit can't have form. Matter has personality, though there can't be personality in the spiritual. Everything matters to something. So they wind up at a conception of the absolute, which is really relative to material thinking. It's not a pure absolute, although they call it kaivalya, pure oneness, but it's not pure. Avishuddha. It's not pure. Because it's based on and proceeds from the negation of matter, not positive knowledge of spirit. All these thoughts are basically material. To think either positively or negatively is still thinking materially. Knowledge accepted from the superior source of the Vedas is standard. Pantastakoti satavatsarasampragam. They can go on speculating and speculating, but whether you think this way, you think that way, you think some other way, thinking power alone will not enable us to understand the Supreme. We have to hear from the superior source. Here in these verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find that archana is recommended. Before Brahma took up the task of creation, he found the Lord sleeping on the serpent bed in the waves of the water of devastation. Therefore, sleeping exists in the internal potency of the Lord, and this is not denied by pure devotees of the Lord, like Brahma and his disciplic succession. It is clearly said here that the Lord slept very happily within the violet waves of the water, manifesting thereby that he is able to do anything and everything by his transcendental will and not be hampered by any circumstances. The Mayavadis cannot think beyond this material experience, and thus he denies the Lord's ability to sleep within the water. His mistake is that he compares the Lord to himself, and that comparison is also a material thought. The whole philosophy of the Mayavada school, based on not this, not that, neti neti, is basically material. Such thought cannot give one the chance to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is. We also give examples give logic and examples for understanding, but that's not how we understand, actually. It's not that we reach a conclusion by logic, that we take some examples and we figure something out by comparing this to that. Actually, we accept the version of Shastra, and the logic and the examples are to help us understand the conclusions of Shastra. The Mayavadis, who are the speculative philosophers, they try to understand by logic.
And in this way, they get in trouble. They misunderstand things. Here we find the Lord enjoys sleeping. We also enjoy sleeping. We see the conditioned souls like to sleep. But our sleeping is enjoyment in the mode of ignorance. And the Lord's sleeping is transcendental. It's also there. Everything is originally there in the Lord. But his sleeping is a transcendental pastime, and our sleeping is mine. But sleeping is there. Prabhupada gives the example somewhere that we go to the ocean or a pool, and we take out our rubber raft or something, and we like to sleep a little bit floating on the water. We like to do that also. So that propensity is originally there in the Lord. You know, people go to the Côte d'Azur or something, and they've got their raft, and they've got their Gucci shades, and they've got the whole thing. And they're basking in the sunlight, and they're enjoying dozing off. So this is originally there in Krishna. He enjoys this pastime of sleeping, in the middle of the violent waves of the water. We think this is impossible. This is some story, some mythology. But what is the difficulty for the Lord? He can enjoy so many. After all, the karma, the materialists, they invent so many outrageous ways to try to enjoy, bungee jumping and all of that. Figure out some way or other to try to enjoy. So the Lord, he can do the most outrageous things for enjoyment. What seems outrageous to us is outrageous, that he lies on a serpent in the middle of the ocean. But we have our idea of enjoyment, he has his. He enjoys. He enjoys. Actually, if some designer could figure out a way that you could have a bed with a real live serpent and sleep there, he'd make a fortune. You come to your apartment in Manhattan, and your bed, you've got a real live serpent, and you can show people how you're lying on your serpent. People would love it. So for Krishna, it's a fact, he's able to do these things. The serpent is actually the expansion of Lord Balaram. So the Lord is lying on the serpent bed very happily. And then when the morning comes, because after all there's a purpose why the Lord is there within the water of the material world. So simply by his will, Brahma is born on the lotus. And again by the will of the Lord, Brahma is inspired to take up the work of the creation. And because he's a sincere servant of the Lord, he prays to the Lord for direction in his activities. So this is the means of success for the human being, or for the devotee, to consider himself a servant of the Lord, to follow the regular principles, rising early, engaging in the worship of the Lord from the early morning, again in the evening, or throughout the day, worshiping the Lord in different ways, offering prayers to the Lord, and trying to carry out his prescribed duties very sincerely under the direction of the Lord or the representative of the Lord. That makes his spiritual progress successful. Any questions?
Maharaj, in the purport, Prabhupada says that before Brahma took up his task of creation, he found the Lord sleeping on a serpent bed in the waves of the world of devastation. I'm not sure if I can reference it, but my impression was that Brahma was kind of found by the Lord after he had given up trying to find the Lord and had been inspired by the Lord, by his service.
Yes, in the very beginning, Brahma doesn't see the Lord. He sees nothing, actually. The whole universe is dark, and he's sitting on the lotus, and he wakes up, and there's a kind of a breeze blowing, and the lotus is swaying in the breeze, and he's sitting there and wondering, you know, who am I, and what am I doing here? And what is this lotus I'm sitting on? What's going on? Imagine if you were to wake up one morning and you found yourself in a dark room sitting on a lotus or some sort of seed and just swaying a little bit and having no idea who you were or what you were doing there. But that was Brahma's situation. Then he thoughtfully began thinking about it. Then he thought, well, the lotus is got a stem, the stem is down there. If I get to the base of the stem, I'll find the source of all this. I'll get to the bottom of this, as they said. So he dives into the water, he tries to understand everything, but he can't get there. The deeper he goes, the farther away he is, he just can't get to the source. So he gives up his empiric attempt, and he comes back up, and as he's coming up, he hears these transcendental syllables and performs tapasya. Then he's able to see the Lord. We also, to properly see the Lord, we accept some tapasya. First of all, you have to get up, otherwise you can't see. And to see properly, one has to adopt four regulative principles: no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex, tapasya, some chanting, some hearing. And one can begin to realize the presence of the Lord. Yes?
Lord Brahma is the firstborn, but the lotus of before Lord Brahma. So how is Lord Brahma first?
The lotus is born before Lord Brahma, so how is Lord Brahma first? He's the first created living being. The lotus is not considered a living being. It's a thing.
It is part of Lord Vishnu's body.
Yeah. It's part of the... Yeah, it's not... We never hear that the lotus decides to do this or the lotus decides to do that. So it's not a... not described as being like a separate living entity. So Brahma is the first one on the scene.
Is that okay?
Yeah. Yes.
You mentioned that the position of Brahma is elevated, the soul which performs 100 lives.
Yes, Brahma's post is available to the soul who performs prescribed duties perfectly for 100 lives.
I was just wondering, because on the other hand, I heard that this post is also appointed soul which...
Loud. What did you hear?
I heard that to this post is also degraded the soul which comes from spiritual world, that it is the first.
We hear that this is the first birth of the soul who falls from the spiritual world. Yeah, we do hear that also. Now you want me to put the two together and reconcile them?
That's what you want, right? One thing is there's lots of Brahmas to choose from. So if one is born after 100 births and another is coming from some other destination, that would solve the problem. I don't know if that's how the Acharyas solved the problem, but that would do it.
There are millions of Brahmas that come
out. Oh yeah, there's no shortage of Brahmas.
Maharaj, you were saying that whatever we see in the material world, and yesterday also Bhagavad Gita said...
Slow down. Whatever we see in the material world, what?
There is, I'm just saying that you mentioned that whatever we see in the material world, there is an origin of that.
There's an origin of that.
Whatever we see. Bhagavad Gita also mentioned that yesterday, what you mentioned about the...
The acoustics in this room are so bad that if you speak real low and real soft, real fast, it all goes by me.
What you were saying about the bed.
Like about the bed?
Like we like to go onto the, you know, ocean or whatever and go onto this bed. The origin of that is a serpent, the lotus sleeping on.
Yeah.
So, just a mundane question really. When you talked about the Gucci shades, is there anything similar to that in the spiritual world?
Well, there's a question I've never been asked before. When I talked about the Gucci shades, is there some counterpart of that in the spiritual world? Well, there's certainly haute couture in the spiritual world. There's high fashion in the spiritual world, definitely. They have them, you know, here it's even the most outrageous designers are really fairly conservative. No one really dresses up anyone in peacock feathers. Or, you know, with clay, this and that, markings, and nobody really dresses like Krishna. They, you know, it would be considered just too much. No one would really be able to pull it off. But Krishna pulls it off very, very beautifully. He dresses in his own transcendental, informal top style, and other people, just like, you know, somebody's like a fashion leader, so other people also like to dress like Krishna, so he has friends who also follow his mood. So the fashion is there in the spiritual world. As far as Gucci shades, what would they be a perverted reflection of? I'm not sure.
Maharaj,
yes.
The sun, we need Gucci shades or any kind of shade in this world because the sun is destructive, harmful. It wouldn't be like that in the spiritual world, would it?
Yeah, there's another way of looking at it. You know, they've got here. We have to like work against the current. You know, the sun rays are actually aggressive in some ways, all that ultraviolet and, you know, glare and so on. So you have to have shades, Gucci's or some other kind of your means. But Krishna arranges it in such a way that the sunlight of the spiritual world is friendly. Gucci can't do that. Yes. That also, there you go. First friendly sun, and then if the sun gets a little too much, or it makes the sun a little too much, so the clouds will have some service. They can come in there. And you talk about shades now, there's shades. Designer clouds. They were talking about which?
Krishna's, is it quality like ghastliness? And
yes.
So we were saying that what we see in, like, for instance, horror movies, as horrible as they can get, there is even an origin for that.
Sure.
Know, which is like in Krishna's pastimes.
Yes.
So that's why I kind of wondered that.
You question. Were wondering about
but I
that.
I had another question.
I'm waiting.
Could you kindly just describe a little bit more when we say, Krishna's lotus eyes. We don't say lotus-like eyes, but we say lotus eyes. What exactly does that mean?
What does it mean when we say Krishna's lotus eyes rather than lotus-like eyes? This is one of the means of poetic expression. It means lotus-like eyes, but there are different ways. One of our devotees, Bhakta Rembir, is doing his doctoral thesis on the poetry of Kavi Karnapur. And I happen to see on his wall, because Kavi Karnapur is very expert in poetics, and he's written a book, I think, in fact, on the technical side of poetic composition. And so Bhakta Rembir has on a wall a list of some of the various alankars or poetic ornaments and the different way that you can say things. So, for example, your face is like the moon, or the face of your moon, or is that the moon or is that your face? Or the what are some of the other ones? That couldn't be your face, it must be the moon. And so on and so on and so on. You know, there's like 40 different ways of the chakora birds are hovering around the moon of your face. You know, in this way, there are so many different ways of turning a phrase, of saying anything. So we say the lotus eyes of Krishna doesn't mean that he's hired Gucci or somebody to make, you know, literal lotuses and somehow, you know, pop holes in them for pupils and so on. But they're beautiful like the lotus. Yes?
It says it's a lotus petal.
Yeah, they're shaped like the lotus petal. You see the Lord's eyes. They're beautiful like the lotus, and they have that lotus-like shape. Sometimes its eyes are compared to lotuses for their shape. Something else? Yeah, thank you for that. Yes?
And the color is sometimes like a...
Yeah, the color is also sometimes, you know, you get that pink and white. Very subtle. You know, it's not just a slab of pink, a slab of white, but the lotuses are so subtle in the way they're made. So the Lord's eyes are like that, white with a little bit of pink and red in the corners.
It must be very attractive to see a lotus opening. It's his eyes opening, he began to open his eyes like a lotus. So I would imagine it would be very absorbing if you could see a lotus opening.
Yeah, to see if you could see, when you see a lotus open, I guess Disney must have, you know, that time photography where, you know, over so much time you can see the lotus opening. So to see the Lord's eyes opening like that, like a lotus, a very beautiful thing to see. Something else? We can spend all our days in lotus katha, actually. The Lord has lotus feet, he has lotus navel, he has lotus eyes, he has lotus mouth.
Lotus nail.
Lotus nail. And it's mentioned in Nectar Devotion, the residents of Vrindavan were seeing lotuses everywhere. They were always thinking of Krishna.
Any information about the color of the icons of Lord Krishna?
Color of his the iris,
the pupil
is always black.
Brown eyes, green eyes.
I've never heard any specific thing. We never hear a description of Krishna as having blue eyes or something like that. Something else.
You describe this thing like bumblebees.
Like bumblebees, which are black. Actually black with a little tiny bit of blue. dark blue bumblebees. That bumblebee that used to come when Prabhupada was walking on the lotus path. We were, during Prabhupada's presence, Srila Prabhupada used to sometimes walk on the roof of the lotus building, and there was some little garden there, some flowers. He'd take his walk there sometimes. And for a series of walks, like every day, as soon as Prabhupada would come, this bumblebee would come to be with Prabhupada. He was noticed as the bumblebee was there.
Did Prabhupada say anything?
Excuse me?
Prabhupada make a comment about that bee?
I don't recall whether Srila Prabhupada... Everybody else did, though. I remember that. Everybody was saying, you know, about this bumblebee wants to be with you. The bumblebees are always described as being after nectar. And after all, this was a Mayapur bumblebee. So you expect the Mayapur bumblebees to be especially expert in seeking transcendental nectar. So this Mayapur bumblebee was after Prabhupada's association. To be in Mayapur, a bumblebee, even to be a bumblebee in Mayapur, is very fortunate. So those of us who do a lot of bumbling can have some hope. Some other question? Okay. Thank you all very much. My words to Srila Prabhupada. Okay, these are my earnings for the day.